This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Marlowe and Christopher Dempsey just left speechless on altitude last night as the Nuggets go up 2-0 on the Lakers. Jamal Murray with the first buzzer beater walk-off in his playoff career. Nuggets now with a stranglehold on the Lakers. Joel Embiid, Nick Nurse, everyone in Philly complaining about the officials. Whoops, you blew the lead in the Garden as they lose a wild one, especially the last 25, 35 seconds or so to the Knicks. Mike Breen with a double bang on ESPN as Dante DiVincenzo hit the game-winning three. A wild night in the NBA. We could say the same for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. I think Connor McDavid just added another assist while we were getting the show started. A handful for him last night. Isles blow a 3-0 lead to Carolina. Toronto perhaps rids themselves of the Hex in Boston. Plenty to get to. And yes, we'll get deep into the NBA playoffs. Von Dalzell going to join us today at 10:20 Eastern. But a lot of NFL draft to talk. Oh, we got to thank our guy Lance Lynn. He provided on two fronts yesterday as well. The Phillies run their winning streak to 7 games. Aaron Boone gets tossed for a fan yelling from behind the dugout. It's a beautiful day in the Bronx. A lot to get to today. Baseball, basketball, hockey, and as I mentioned, the draft. Welcome into BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. That draft now, just about 59 hours away from getting started in Detroit alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 going to join us at the top of the third and final hour here on BetQL Daily, 11 a.m. Eastern. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports in less than 20 minutes. We've got the draft covered from all angles, including from our angles. We will draft the draft. What's that mean? It means we will draft our favorite bets of the draft coming up a little less than 1 hour from now. Could be certain players to go at certain spots, could be number of players at a certain position to go in the first round, could be over under draft slots for certain players. We'll be all over the board literally in 56 minutes from now. But the draft, that's where we're at. Jane Daniels now down to minus 330 to go second overall. I guess Denver still needs to trade up for a quarterback. I don't know if trading for Zach Wilson changes your quarterback strategy in the draft at all or not, Aaron, but we've also got some updated mock drafts from our friends. We've got Matt Friedman's. We've got Sean Norris's latest mock draft, and both of them very different. But yeah, I don't think Zach Wilson, Aaron, immediately going to get Denver rethinking their draft strategy. It's just another lottery ticket in the quarterback room.
You would think the Broncos are absolutely drafting a quarterback. That Broncos quarterback room is looking rough. What does Sean Payton think that he can, you know, maybe he can do the whole Geno Smith thing with Zach Wilson. That's what he's hoping. A Zach Wilson resurgence from his college days, Joe. But it kind of seems like they have to draft a quarterback, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So it's just going to change every day till Thursday. Is that what we're going to do? Like, there's just a new thing with one of these three quarterbacks, or that's what's going to happen. I when we have situations like this, I tend to go back to what we've been saying all along, what's been going on throughout. And you'll see that when we draft the draft with a couple of bets that I do like, that, you know what, a lot of this is just garbage BS that people are throwing out there, whether it's on the media side, whether it's on the team front looking for some sort of advantage. I do still think at the end, it's going to be what we thought for most of the time, where it's going to be Caleb, it's going to be Daniels, and the betting market is going that way. And then it's going to be Drake May. And then what happens with McCarthy? Is somebody going to trade into the top five, or is somebody going to hang out 11, 12 and draft him there? Or maybe move in to one of those spots, maybe leap one of those teams where we were supposed to have a big quarterback run, or it's expected. You know, all this chatter about Daniels liking the Raiders, that would be his number one spot. That's cute. The Raiders aren't getting up there. Like, how are they getting up to number two to get him? That's what I don't understand. There will be surprises. There are always going to be surprises. Quarterbacks are the number one story, but I still think what we've thought all along, for the most part, is how this thing's going to lay out, at least in the top three.
I think what's interesting too is whether you think it's going to be increasingly competitive in teams trying to jump over each other for those quarterbacks at three and four or maybe five, or whether you think it's everybody takes a step back, kind of pushes away from the table and says, yeah, a little too rich for me. I'll let the quarterbacks fall to me. Because those are the two competing lines of thinking, the two competing philosophies we got from Josh Norris and Matthew Friedman in these updated mocks that we just got this morning, Joe, is Matt says, well, no, I think Minnesota and Denver kind of hang back and wait to see how things fall. Josh says, no, they get aggressive. You have Minnesota trading up to three with New England to get May. You have Denver then maybe panicking in that moment, trading up to four to get McCarthy. I tend to lean, I think, a little bit more toward the conservative side. I think teams are going to let things fall to them at 11, 12, and 13. Maybe jump into the 9, 10 spot if they think there's an opportunity there. I don't know if we get all the wild wheeling and dealing at 3 and 4 that some may expect.
Yeah, I think so. I think what's probably the most interesting parts about the top of the draft is what happens with McCarthy, what happens with the receivers. Because I'm still not 100% sold on exactly how that's going to go. We have been saying for quite some time, Arizona 4, we don't know if there's going to be any movement there, but man, there's a lot of buzz on neighbors. Like, I would think that is a little bit different, and just the order of that. And I hesitate when we plug in so many spots. I keep bringing it up with all of our guests about number 8, and now I'm thinking about number 7. And we're starting to see movement there. That's where I think it gets fascinating, Aaron, because, I don't know, you went O-line last year, Joe Alt, a new regime. Are they going to start Tennessee there? Or maybe a team makes a decision for the Titans doing something different, where I'm seeing a bunch of mocks, people pretty good at this, where Alt goes higher. Where Alt ends up being a top 5 pick. Best tackle on the board? I mean, that would not surprise me at all.
And Chris Mack has been talking about offensive linemen. You know, every team needs one. About the wide receivers, I mean, we talk about this being lying season as we approach the draft, but right after the Super Bowl is when you started to hear people talking about, wait a second, neighbors could go before Marvin Harrison. So that's been going on, that chatter, for a while, and there's a lot more value on Neighbors going before Harrison. I hope it's Harrison before Neighbors. You watched a really cool feature story with him and his dad. He just seems like such a good kid, so athletic. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's where there is a shakeup, and you can get a lot better value if Neighbors is the first wide receiver selected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if the quarterbacks and receivers come off the board early, and then teams kind of circle back around late first, early second to more quarterbacks and wide receivers, it's all about how things get filled in, I guess, from a more practical standpoint. And if you're betting some of those position totals in the first round, how does it get filled in between, say, 6, 7, 8, and all the way down to 28, 29, 30? Mostly offensive linemen, corners, where do the edges and interior defenders fit in? We'll draft the draft, as I mentioned, in about 50 minutes, 10 a.m. Eastern here, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, and on YouTube, just search Odyssey Sports. So I'll put it to you very simply, Joe, of the three Game 2 losers who are all now down 0-2 in their series last night, can any of them come back to win their series? Lakers blow a 20-point lead to the Nuggets. Sixers are trying their damnedest with Joel Embiid on one leg to steal something from the Knicks at some point. And the Orlando Magic, thank you for showing up, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have no interest in watching you do anything. Do any of these three teams, Orlando, Philly, LA, have a shot to come back in their series?
One of them does, but there's a reason to be concerned. Philadelphia does. And I'm not being Joel Embiid at his locker room after the game, refusing to look up and saying how everybody was trying to call a timeout. Well, the guys that had the ball, including Maxey, he wasn't trying to call a timeout. Inbounding guy, he wasn't trying to call a timeout. Your coach was, but Batum was on the other side of the court, but that doesn't help the situation. I'm not saying that they're the better team. Embiid said that after the game. I'm not saying they're going to win the series, but you're asking which one has a shot? Philly does. I understand if you would argue me on that because, like, the good Brunson hasn't shown up yet, and they're up 2-0. That's scary. That is scary if you're Philadelphia. And you're getting nothing from the others. It is only Embiid and Maxey. And we brought up this point yesterday. They need help from other dudes. And those two alone, not going to get it done. Meanwhile, the Knicks have every starter getting into double figures. And it's hard for the Sixers to find a third guy that can do anything. Harris only had 10 points last night. And Lowry and Batum, Oubre, 4, 6, 8. Like, they're doing nothing. And that's what you need in the NBA playoffs. I know we're going to sit here and spend all the time on Embiid and his health, what Maxey's doing and all that, because that's what people end up talking about, the superstars. But most times, what wins games, the difference makers, are the guys coming off the bench, are those role players. You need one of them in just about every game. Like, I grew up watching a two-headed monster in Jordan and Scotty. But you know what? A lot of times, games are won by the grit of what Rodman was doing, or Horace Grant, or Kerr coming off the bench, or Hodges coming off the bench and just raining down threes. And people tend to forget that. They need somebody to step up. Now that we're switching venues, I expect that to happen. Do the Knicks win that game on the road last night? I don't know. That was a hell of a way for DiVincenzo to go over 3.5 made threes, though. I'll tell you that. That was a hell of a scene, everything that happened last night. But of the three, that's the only one that has a shot. I mean, we said Orlando's dead after game one. And LeBron again. What else you got to do? Maybe score more points in the second half. How about that?
LeBron crying about the officials. I'm here for all of that. And the Magic, I was talking to Chris Mack. That's embarrassing that I actually had faith in this team, only putting up 86 points, no offense whatsoever. Get them out of here. I don't want to watch another game in that series. Mm-mm. Tyrese Maxey is looking like the MVP for the Sixers. Impressive what he's been able to do, but it's like with a hobbled Embiid and Maxey kind of carrying the team, they just seem shorthanded. The Knicks are just so scrappy. Everyone's stepping up. I'm with Joe. I think the Sixers are the only team that could climb out of this hole.
Embiid can't do anything more, right?
No. I mean, I don't think any of these teams come back. I mean, none. I said it yesterday that maybe the Lakers could force a sixth game if they stole one in Denver. I don't know about that anymore. I don't know if even the Sixers, as much as they have tried to hang, can force a sixth game, to be honest. The way Embiid, they've thrown everything, the kitchen sink at the Knicks. And you're right. They'll win at least one at home. They'll win at least one back in Philly. But man, they go back to the Garden down 3-1. I just don't know if they're running out of gas in the fourth quarter of games. What's going to happen in the fourth quarter of game five back at the Garden, assuming we get to that point? I don't see it in there. And yeah, let's pretend like we never once mentioned the Orlando Magic in the month of April. Aaron, they're done. Cavs in three. We will look at tonight's game twos at 11:20 a.m. Eastern. So in about 2 hours from now, Suns, Pacers, Mavs all trying to bounce back in game twos on the road. We draft the draft, our favorite NFL draft bets at the top of the hour. Coming up next, we get an expert's insight from CBS Sports. Ryan Wilson joins us to talk draft here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-minus 58 hours, 38 minutes, and some seconds, and counting. Round one of the NFL draft. We are all on the clock. How are you betting the draft, and how will your favorite teams or favorite teams to bet be affected by what they do in the first round? Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports joins us momentarily here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. I'm Chris Mack alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. In 35 minutes or so, we will draft the draft. What the heck does that mean? We'll tell you our favorite NFL draft bets, and we'll tell you them draft style. Yes, Von Dalzell, 1 hour from now from NBC Sports to talk about what we saw in some dramatic game twos in the NBA playoffs last night and whether he thinks the Lakers or the Sixers, we're not even mentioning the Magic anymore, the Lakers or the Sixers can bounce back in those first round series. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 a little bit later, and we will take a quick look at today's MLB action as well with some members of the list of losers on the bump for their respective teams. But as mentioned, you can follow him on X at Ryan Wilson CBS. He is getting ready to cover the entire draft for CBS Sports. Latest mock out this morning. What he would do if he were GM for all 32 of these teams. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports joins us now on BetQL Daily. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for making the time at what is the busiest time of year for you.
Yeah. Christmas is in 50-something hours, as you noted there, and then I will disappear for the month of May. So, yeah, no, I'm excited. This is going to be an exciting draft class, and it's going to start at the top after presumably Caleb gets off the board, and then things are going to get crazy, it feels like.
Well, yeah, when does it start to get crazy? You know, we've got the Patriots declaring they're open for business last week. Is that because they're desperate to get some calls on the third overall pick? Is that because the calls haven't been good enough? What do we expect to happen, I guess, right there at 3? Does it involve J.J. McCarthy? And is that kind of where, you know, as we say, the old cliche, the draft starts?
Yeah, I mean, 2 is going to be interesting. I've heard Jaden Daniels, and that's no grand proclamation. We've heard that other places as well. I heard last week that Washington wasn't done yet with their evaluation. Then they had all 4 quarterbacks come in at the same time, which is a curious strategy. But at 3, if you're trading up for the Minnesota Vikings, for example, it's going to be for Drake May almost certainly. I don't think you're trading up for JJ if Drake's still on the board. The other thing when you talk about are the Patriots legitimately open for business or not, I think they are. And if the offer is sweet enough, that allow them to stockpile some picks, because that team as it's currently constituted, especially in offense, is not very good. They don't have consistency at the tackle position. Last year they drafted a bunch of guards, which I thought was sort of funny. The guards actually played a lot, but they need help at tackle. They need some dynamic wide receivers. They don't have anyone at that position. DeMario Douglas is probably their best wide receiver, and he was a day 3 pick last year who was 5'8", 5'9". And when he was on the field and not in Bill Belichick's doghouse, he was pretty dynamic, but they need someone outside that can stretch the field. If you trade down from 3 with the understanding that maybe we're not set up infrastructure-wise to support a rookie quarterback like a Drake May, maybe we'll roll with Jacoby Brissett, maybe we'll sign a veteran and see what we can do and then circle back in the offseason. But in the meantime, let's build around the quarterback who is there. I think they could do a lot of damage. And you're gonna have to overpay if you're coming up to 3, because no one's surprised at who you're coming to get. You're not coming up to get Joe Ald. You're coming up to get one of these quarterbacks, almost certainly Drake May. And then if you're New England, you trade down to you're going to get 11 from the Vikings. You're going to get 23. You're probably going to get a 2025 first rounder, maybe get some other draft compensation or a player. And then suddenly things start to look a little different for New England's prospects, at least in a pretty competitive division.
Ryan, what about offensive linemen? I'm interested week of the draft and some of the movement in various mock drafts out there, because for so long it seemed like almost everyone had Joel plugged in number 7 to Tennessee. And now the idea of him going even higher is out there, and some believing, okay, maybe we're going to have another offensive line like J.C. Latham go even higher than people have been saying throughout the process. How do you think the order goes with offensive linemen, some possibilities? And then the number is set at 9.5 offensive linemen in the first round. Where are you at there?
Yeah. So if in fact the Patriots or the Cardinals are willing to trade down, that means the Chargers at 5 are not going to trade down unless there's going to be 2 trades up for a quarterback and someone comes up for JJ later. But assuming the Chargers stay put, I would take Malik Nabers all day, but we know that Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball. He's going to incorporate that. He has Greg Roman as his OC. That's a big part of what Greg Roman does. And Joe Ault feels like that could be landing spot number 1 for him. They already have a left tackle, so Joe Ault's going to have to move to the right side, or Rashawn Slater's going to have to move. They have to figure that part out. But Joe Ault is going to be the first tackle drafted. I like Olafashinu a little better in terms of looking down the road 2 or 3 years, but that doesn't help you at all in your purposes here. And then I think at 7, the Tennessee Titans are layup. They could be a trade-down candidate as well. But if the idea is to protect Will Levis, then you have to, without hesitation, take a tackle there. The Chargers could move down and maybe, to your point, Joe, target J.C. Latham as well, who's the right tackle only. But, all right, let's see. How many of these guys are going off the board? Because, as you know, 9.5 is a really good number. because this class is stacked, especially at the top. So Joe Alt, Fashanu, Tully Fuaga, Troy Polamalu, J.C. Latham. Those guys are all going in the first round. Tyler Guyton has a chance to go in the first round. I think that brings us to six. And then you're talking about interior offensive linemen. You have Graham Barton. That's seven. And then Amarius Mims, who's the huge, enormous, gargantuan right tackle out of Georgia. Hasn't played a lot, but athletically he might be the freakiest person in this draft. And that gets you to eight. After that, it gets a little – you're starting to get close here. Jordan Morgan, maybe out of Arizona, has a chance to go in the first round. I know some teams are looking at him at the bottom of round one, and that gets you to nine. And then the question becomes – I was just talking to Chris about this – Jackson Powers-Johnson. I heard he's going to fall out of the first round unless there's one team that comes back to get him. But I think there's a chance, more likely than not, that he ends up in round two. So that gets you to nine. So the number is right where you want it to be. And then the question becomes, is there going to be a wild card with a Jackson Powers-Johnson, or maybe even a player we're not talking about, a Patrick Paul, for example, who I don't think is a first-round talent, but he was tweeting earlier this week that he's going to go on Thursday. So maybe he knows something we don't.
Wow. Wow, fascinating. I cannot wait for the draft. I know you mentioned that your mock this morning was what you would do, and you've got receiver, 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 Harrison, yeah. Neighbors, and then Adunze. What is the likelihood of Neighbors going before Harrison? I'd like to see Harrison go first as the first wide receiver selected, but there's so much value on Neighbors. Maybe I'm reaching here. But what do you think the chances are he could be the first wide receiver selected?
Yeah, no. And this is a great – I said, yeah, no. That I do a podcast with Rick Spielman, and Rick Spielman starts every sentence with, yeah, no, and it's rubbing off on me. But the reason I said that is because Arizona at four, I've heard that Arizona is all in on Marvin. And Marvin had talked to Arizona during the pre-draft process about not working out and all the things that we were yammering on about that he didn't do, and they were okay with it. But there are teams that like Malik a little better, and there are teams that have Roma Dunze right up there in that mix. I think if Arizona stays put at four and doesn't trade out, Marvin's going to be their pick. And that's, again, that's not hard to put those dots mm-hmm. together. If Arizona trades out of that pick for a team to come up and get a quarterback, excuse me, then you have to say, okay, who do the Giants like? Who do the Chargers like if the Chargers want to go in that direction? And then things get – maybe that's where you find the value on a Malik Neighbors or a Roma Dunze. And, I'm not a gambler just because I'm terrible at it and I'm lazy. But I do wonder – I'll ask you guys. Roma Dunze at 10 to the Giants, what's the value on that? To the Jets, excuse me, because that's something that I really like. And I like it better than Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers is going to last a little longer than that. Yeah, you didn't expect questions from me, did you? As you scrambled.
No, this is good. I like this back and forth.
So I'm in Chicago. I don't see how he gets past the Bears at nine. Are you saying?
So
the
I'll
Bears
say this, Joe.
Nine? Yeah.
Here's what I've heard. And again, we don't know. No one knows. Unlike say free agency or when players sign big contracts, there's no incentive for teams to tell us what they're doing. But just trying to piece it together, talking to people around the league, I think the Bears are thinking about an edge rusher, but mm-hmm. you would not get much. And because they only have the four picks, right? And Montez Sweat was so good last year. They got some young interior defensive line help with those two draft picks. And if you book in Montez Sweat with how good that defense is playing, I think they feel pretty good about the wide receiver room. That said, I mean, if you took Rome at nine, you have to feel pretty good about it if you're Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus.
Well, and it's an interesting line, too, because the one that I see is, you know, over under 8.5 as his draft position. And the over is plus 115. So we're getting a little bit of value, a little better than even money if he goes nine or later, which would tell you, to be honest, Ryan, would kind of feed into what you're talking about there. Like, hey, he either goes early or he doesn't go off the board to the Bears. Maybe it's a little bit later even. So that's one way to look at it. I think that's an interesting number to talk about Adunze going before the ninth spot. And that's actually pretty well juiced, minus 155. The idea of Adunze going before Chicago even comes up on the clock at nine. Let me circle back around to the quarterbacks and the teams interested in quarterbacks, because I'm as guilty of this as anybody in focusing on, okay, Chicago, Washington, New England at the top. And then you get to 11, 12, 13, right? Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, all quarterback thirsty teams, we would think. The one team in between, sandwiched in the middle, almost exactly in the middle, that has sort of sent some vague smoke screens over the past few weeks about not being excited with the quarterback they're currently tied to for just one more year. The New York Giants at six. How aggressive do you think this organization may or may not be? Because if I see a prime trading partner to move up from six to three to jump on a Drake May, if the Patriots are doubting their ability as currently constituted to develop a young quarterback, it's the Giants moving from six to three, the Patriots coming back, adding some draft capital, maybe even moving back a second time, right? Because then the panic starts to set in for everybody after Arizona and LA, and they go, oh my God, McCarthy might be off the board too. And somebody jumps to six to get McCarthy. Could the Giants be a domino that falls that sort of sets everything off at number three?
I'm literally sweating right now going through all these iterations as if I had money. That's why I don't gamble. Like, I'm so terrible at it, and I can't take the pressure. But what you lay out there, Chris, is conceivable. It's not even a long shot. Now, what I heard last week, and I got to circle back and make some calls tomorrow, is that the Giants are doing a ton of work on quarterbacks, but not in the first round. So guys that are looking at down the line. So take that for what it's worth. It doesn't mean anything in the scheme of things. They could very easily be traded up. My only hesitation is if you're the Giants and the Vikings know what the Giants could conceivably be thinking, and the Vikings feel like they're going all in. So they're going to give up the 23rd pick. They're going to give up next year's first. I don't know how much the Giants are willing to give up, because it feels like the Vikings are a little closer to where they want to be than New York is. I could be wrong in that, but I feel like Kevin O'Connell has done such a great job with those quarterbacks. That defense under Brian Flores was lights out last year down the stretch, and obviously they have Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw. They have pieces in place. So my only hesitation is, do the Giants have enough ammunition, and are they willing to come off that ammunition to move up? Also, based on sort of what I was hearing last week, that they're looking at quarterbacks maybe later in the draft. I don't know if that means Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler or whomever, Michael Pratt. But I feel better about some other team trading up 11, 12, 13. Probably not even Denver. I think Denver's going to be going in the other direction than the Giants. I think the Giants are more likely to stay put and maybe try to roll the dice on a Malik Nabers or Marvin should he fall or someone like that.
No matter which defensive name we talk about, it seems like people are all over the place on them. Either top 10 or 20s. Like, I've seen that with Verse. I've seen that with Dallas Turner, Latu, Murphy. Why are people all over the place on these defensive players?
I like Verse the best among the edge rushers, and typically I have him going to the Bears. But I would not be surprised if at 8, Byron Murphy is the first player drafted. Like, they have needs in Atlanta at edge rush, but Byron Murphy is so disruptive. And it's unfair to compare him to Aaron Donald, of course, but he is that sort of disruptor in the middle of that defense. Maybe Quinnen Williams is a better comparison in terms of being disruptive coming out of school. But either way, if you took him at 8, even at 9, I would think about it, but I understand the edge rush needs. And I know you, Joe, you were talking about the wide receiver, Chicago. But I think that's the variation. Edge rush is where you typically start the conversation about getting after the quarterback. But when you see someone as special as Byron, and you hear murmurs that maybe Byron ends up being the first defensive player off the board because even though he's an interior defensive lineman, that's the disconnect. I think if Leatu Latu was healthy, he had a chance to be edge one. I think Dallas Turner is going to be edge one. I talked to Will Anderson back in the fall, and he's like, Dallas is actually better than I was coming out of Alabama, which is hard to wrap your brain around. I think Verse is the safest pick. He reminds me a lot of Josh Allen coming out of Jacksonville. Jaguars Josh Allen, not Buffalo Josh Allen. And what flavor of ice cream are you looking for? But I'm going to put you guys on the spot. What's the number for Byron Murphy?
That is, what's Murphy?
Being the first defensive guy? I know you have to wrap here, but whatever it is.
Guy? Yeah.
I love that. I love Byron Murphy being the first defensive guy off the board. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
That's the market that's probably had the most flux in it, I think, over the last couple of weeks, is that first defensive player off the board, plus 300 for Byron Murphy to be that guy right now. So there you go, Ryan. A little bit of investment help from Ryan Wilson. We won't call it betting, Ryan. If it makes the palms less sweaty, it's sports investing. We appreciate the time this morning, man. Great insight. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Ryan Wilson, at Ryan Wilson CBS on X, and follow all of his coverage of the NFL draft later this week on CBS Sports. Von Dalzell around the corner, a few minutes to talk NBA playoffs, and we draft the draft at the top of the hour. But coming up next, we go off the board here on BetQL Daily.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Chris Mack, Aaron Hawksworth with you. Not a lot of great material for Off the Board and my favorite websites that I normally check for this, which kind of brings me to the point that we never really got the full wedding recap and why Jake was in such a good mood yesterday. I mean, he didn't split his pants. We know about the dirty dancing, but like, give us some more info on this. Like, did you have a date? Any details you can share?
Listen, obviously was in a good mood because I didn't split my pants. That's numero uno.
Like, that was number one.
The bar was on the floor there. Yes. That's all we needed to get in and out with that. So that was a huge win in and of itself. Okay? Did not have a date. Went solo dolo. But, yeah, I mean, what, Joe?
Solo dolo?
You couldn't find a troll? A troll from Hinge to Brink?
No, I also was told before the wedding even happened that I was not to be trusted with a plus one anyway, so.
What does that mean? Oh, wow.
That's what I was told.
Are you known for bringing, like, crazy people?
No, I've only ever attended a wedding with a date once. No, twice. And that was in college when I was, like, dating someone for a long time. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what my – like, I don't know why I cannot be trusted with a plus one. But, yeah, so, hey, happens to the best of us.
Maybe they were trying to protect you from yourself. They knew where your plus one decision might take you, and they said, you know what? Let's do Jake a solid, and let's just let him have the evening to himself.
And then, you know, don't say that, brain. Anyway, but
So you went solo. Okay, so I'm past the point where I know a lot of people getting married. I don't even remember the last wedding that I went to. But as far as what the gift, are we still at, you just got to cover the plate kind of a thing, or an idea there? Is it much more? I'd imagine nowadays with everything else, weddings are even a lot more expensive than they used to be back when I got married.
Yeah, we just did the Venmo. We didn't overthink
Venmo,
it. Just just hit the Venmo.
That's awesome.
Payment.
So easy.
So much easier. That. Like, especially because, like, yes. I've known the couple that got married, like, I've known them for a few years. And, like, it's just, like, we're not best friends, but we're decently good friends. So it's just, like, it's so much easier. Like, just get yourself whatever you want. You don't need me to, like,
yes,
go over the top. Like, here's a couple $100. Like, have a great honeymoon. See you later.
Nobody is ever going to complain about that. And
right.
Venmo's so smart because it just had a quick flashback of just the stress. Who has the gifts? Where are the gifts? As we get drunk throughout the evening, don't forget the gifts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where can we hide that? Where can we lock them up until the end of the night?
Yeah. It's one, like, we had one of our other friends came up. He's like, hey, I'm going to go put my card, like, go figure out where I need to put the card. And we were like, what are you doing, doofus? Like, yeah, nobody else in front of, like, we're like, you're the only one. Have fun figuring out what that situation is. We just sent the Venmo. See you later. Go off on your own adventure. Bye.
With an emoji.
Yeah, emoji literally. Used. Just a nice caption, private payment. See you later.
Yeah.
Very good.
Man, life's so much easier now.
I know.
It was so easy. It's great.
So are you fully recovered? So this is the other difference with the significant age gap here is it takes me multiple days to recover from going to someone's wedding. Again, much like Joe, we have not been to one in a while. But I can guarantee, like, we have one in November that we're going to, and we know a ton of people there. There's a high probability we'll just stay the night. We're not trying to, you know, Uber all the way back from this place, which is like 40 minutes away. It will take me 2 days to recover. I may have to take that Monday as well. Like, it's just, you get past 40 and the recovery from the night out takes longer. Are you fully recovered after your morning
fine.
Of sitting in the
fine.
He looks fine. I'm just, I, he I was know like any lingering effects.
He came into the studio on a pre-workout. Like, he looked like no, he was I ready no, to didn't. Go. Well, it looked, you could have fooled me.
I mean, also, I did work out beforehand, but I did not. I famously am off the pre-workout wow. because it scares me now.
War zones.
Some people like to work out and hit the sauna to recover from a hangover, but really yes. quick, getting Jake's text, like, I will be sitting down in the shower. Like, I felt nauseous for him. I got flashbacks of just being so hungover, out yeah. for days. All you want to do yeah. is lay in bed in a dark room. I don't even have the energy to go get a Gatorade. Like, the headache is so intense. Like, I never want that.
I actually
again.
Planned ahead. Like, considering how much of a dummy I am, I actually planned ahead pretty adequately. Like, got home, had the ice water in my water bottle and my Hydro Flask from before, had the Gatorade in the fridge, had the Celsius in the fridge, had the shower beer in the fridge. Celsius. Like, I did sit
shower
down
beer?
In the shower.
You're
oh
an
my
idiot.
God, I love
listen,
I've done that a couple
a
times.
Process, okay? I have a process.
This
and
is a
it
weekly
works.
Thing.
So
a weekly
no, okay,
shower
no,
beer?
Okay, no, it's not. I just know that when it's something like a wedding, it's just I have a process, and
be
generally
careful.
It works. There's been
top
trial
the can
and error
sharp.
4 days when I know we're going to be going hard. It's a marathon day, and I know what's going to uh-huh. be required the next day. It's just something that you have to have. I'm a seasoned vet, okay? I'm going into the Hall of Fame when it comes to recovery process. So it's just now wedding. So we packed it up like probably 2:30, 3 a.m., like Saturday night, Sunday morning, because there was obviously a bar after the reception. And then got home the next day and
oh my
just
gosh.
Got in the
wait,
shower.
Wait, no gloss.
Wait.
The next day.
That was that was the speed bump that you tried to take at like 55 miles an hour. Back up.
But he also wanted us to follow up on it. Otherwise, he would not have.
I mean, I knew you guys were going to ask anyway. You already did.
Okay.
Also, okay.
Okay.
All right. If we're gonna do this. Mom, stop
it.
Listening. I already lied to you once, okay? You don't want to know. I was talking, because here's what happened. I was talking to my mom on the phone yesterday, and she goes, so why? Because one of our friends tweeted out on Sunday morning, clocked Jake in his clothes from the night before, blah, blah, blah. And then my mom saw the tweet in the first place. God. So I'm talking to my mom on the phone, and she goes, so where were you, like, what happened Saturday that your friends caught you in your clothes from the night before? And I was like, went to a 5 a.m. bar, you know, just went to the bars all night, went home. So, mother, stop listening. Now, to the actual story.
There's a glass.
Listen.
I want to know more about shower beers. Those sound elite. I don't even drink beer. And I was
yeah.
It's
a slippery
slope. I've never done this.
It's
I've
a slippery slope,
beer.
Though. You can't make the shower
Chris
beer
has.
A habit. It's got to be in certain scenarios.
It's such a great buzz.
You all of a sudden, the shower good. Beer before work.
Yeah, you it's a slippery slope. You got to be very careful. It's got to be either hangover shower beer or getting ready shower beer.
Getting ready shower beer.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I've been missing out, you guys.
There's no better feeling. There's no better feeling than opening the shower beer, getting ready. Especially if you got like a speaker going too. It hits different.
I need one of those right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There is nothing like the Friday night speaker on shower beer, like 7:30, 8 p.m. It's
all right.
Great.
You've dodged it long enough. Mama Hassan, you're not listening anymore. At 5 a.m. Saturday, where are you? What happened?
Oh, 5 a.m. Saturday, I was already asleep. It's already asleep for sure. Listen, any time that you can wake up in a hotel 2 days in a row, you got to do it, okay? I've long said this, and you just got to do it. It's a good change of pace. You got to switch it up. The funny part, actually, because this story does get better, and it doesn't has to do with me, which is great. Getting home from the bar Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever you want to say, we get back to the hotel, and the couple in the room next to us screaming at each other. Like, you can hear the whole – like, the girl is crying. The dude hits her with the, well, what do you want me to do? And we were both like, ooh, can't be pulling that one out, pal. It was free entertainment. Like, it was not expected, but it was very funny. For us, at least, don't know for them so much because they were arguing, but it was wild. Like the guy at first was on his side, but then he was losing ground real fast. Like, was not putting up a good showing of himself at the end. Had it, lost it. But yeah, anyway, so what were we talking about?
Nothing. You just managed to completely set yourself up for, and then totally slip the jab on the, what exactly went down late Saturday night, early Sunday morning?
Yeah. I'm with Paul. Noise from the neighbor at the hotel.
No, they were arguing. Like just
I thought it was going.
I thought you,
many
I
different
thought you
directions.
Set it up, the undercard was going on as we were walking into our hotel room.
I thought the wall undercard was going to be shaking. And then when you're like,
that's the worst.
He hits her with. I'm like, whoa, where's this going?
Verbally.
Okay.
Verbally is the important caveat there. Yeah.
Listen, you guys know my, like, Twitter is a dating app, all right? Like, you know this about me. This is how it is.
Paul just checked in. I've been fascinated for the last day. So I'm leaving the studios yesterday after lunch, and then Paul and Andrew are walking. Like, where are you guys going? Oh, we're going to get coffee. So they probably talked about all of us individually, like for 20 minutes, right? Chewing over the hole, one by one.
I'm out for myself. Don't worry, we weren't talking about Joe Ostrowski.
But like Paul's halfway through that conversation,
halfway through that conversation, I'm like, my head is starting to get real light, and this is a real cold, and I'm kind of dying. So, you can hear in my voice, I am feeling great. Yeah, I really thought it was like a mini summer cold, and we've taken a turn. We'll see how this goes.
Full on allergy / cold bonanza mid-spring festival in Paul's sinuses. Good times. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports going to join us in 25 minutes to get back into the NBA playoffs. Three dramatic game twos, at least a pair of dramatic game twos yesterday. What's it mean for those teams down 0-2? And how do three other teams avoid going down 0-2? Plus, we draft the draft, our favorite NFL draft bets next right here on BetQL Daily.